Pastor Ray Bentley.
Every day is a gift from God, a day that we can rejoice. And may I add, you're setting the patterns of your own life and nature and character that will flow right into your first day in the kingdom of God. No man knows the day that eternity will invade his or her life. St. Augustine said the last day is a secret, and that every day must then be watched.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. If we only had an hour left to live, would we spend it on Facebook or watching YouTube? No, when life is short, it clarifies what's most important. Well, life is short. We never know when our time is up or when Jesus is coming back. Today, Pastor Ray helps us prioritize and be watchful.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. The title of the message is Watch. And listen to what Jesus says to the church of Sardis. Sardis was a church that was asleep to its day. It was asleep to its time. It wasn't aware. It was not awake. It was complacent. And it was also compromised. And it's a message that we need to take heed today. And to the angel in the church in Sardis write, verse 1 of chapter 3, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Verse 2, be watchful. So here's the remedy. Be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. So he says, you're not completely dead yet, but you're dying, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. And therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. The Lord says to the church, repent. I want to give to you maybe a new way of thinking about repentance. In ancient times, when a country became strong economically, politically, their army, and they wanted to go out and conquer and take conquest of other nations, they didn't just conquer their army, and they didn't just take the best and brightest of their young and take them in exile from Israel to Babylon. They did something else. They destroyed their houses. In fact, as history attests, they destroyed the house of God. They destroyed the temple. Why? So that even when they went to Babylon, they had the victory, they had the power, they had the ability, and they brought them there, and they were brokenhearted, those who were alive and had survived. Even if they wanted to run away, even if they wanted to escape, they could not go back because there was no home, and there was no house of God to worship to go back to. And if you look at the ancient Hebrew letters for repent, they basically tell this story. It means, to repent means to destroy the house. So I ask you the question, as Jesus said to the church of Sardis, repent. Many in the church of Sardis had left their old Roman homes available so they could be with the church when they needed to, but they could run to their old life and their old ways and their old haunts and their old habits when they wanted to. And thus they were divided. They had one world in the kingdom, one foot in the world, and they were a divided people. The Lord wants a loyal heart, and he wants a united heart. Is there, therefore, let me ask the question, is there a place, it may be a geographic place, it may just be a place in your mind or a place in your heart, but is there a place, or are there situations or circumstances or even old relationships that need to be severed in order that you might be totally, completely given to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you destroyed the old house and the old kingdom that you're totally sold out to him? That's what repentance really means. Thus, it means to turn around and go in the opposite direction. Now, in these verses, Jesus also says twice, watch. He goes, I want you to watch. Listen again. He says in verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, he says it a second time, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know the hour that I will come upon you. Watch. Be watching. The idea of watching comes from a shepherd. The primary responsibility of a shepherd is to watch his sheep. He watches over us as our shepherd. But we need, and here's what Jesus is saying to the church, if shepherds have the responsibility of watching over sheep, sheep have also a responsibility to watch and follow the shepherd. In other words, Jesus is leading. So you've got his flock, and the flock in Sardis, most of them were not following the shepherd. He's the one who is their protection. He's the one that knows where the water is. He's the one pulling out the poisonous plants. He's the one preparing the way for them. And they're off wandering on their own, and only a tiny little group is following at his heels. So there was a problem there. So there is no commandment that appears more frequently than this, to be watchful. Read with me Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. How true that is. How close are we to the coming of the Lord? I don't know, but I know this, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. And I am telling you, Jesus is coming soon. He is coming, and we need to be ready, and we need to be watching, and we need to be waiting for him. 1 Corinthians 16, 13, let's read that. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Now, what should we be watching for? Well, quickly, several things. Number one, we must be on watch from the schemes of the enemy. The enemy, he's subtle. There's really nothing new under the sun as far as our humanity and our weaknesses and vulnerabilities, and he knows to take advantage. So be watching for that. The history of the city of Sardis was an example enough of what happens when you're not watching. Twice, the city that was built upon a bluff had neglected to put watchmen on the walls, and they were overtaken. So Jesus says to the church, you're not aware. You are not alert. You have no idea who the enemy who is out there in the weeds, who sees you, is about ready to pounce. So be watching and prepared. Secondly, we must be on the watch for temptation. Matthew 26, 41, let's read that out loud. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. When your spirit is you know, you're filled with the Spirit and you're new and you just love the Lord and you want to pray and you experience the Spirit of God, the glory of God within you, and then your flesh, it just doesn't want to go along. So the spirit and the flesh, they're constantly battling. And what did Jesus say? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. He sets traps. So be watching, be alert, be aware of that. And then thirdly, repeatedly, the Bible urges believers to be watching for the coming of Christ. Now, I believe this is not only just the second coming, but the coming of Christ. You do realize that every generation for the last 2,000 years has had a coming of Christ to them. Either you're going to him or he's coming down to you. Either way, at the end of your life, you're going to have a Christ coming. And oftentimes, it's sooner than we would have imagined. The Bible says that God knows the number of our days. We don't know. Moses wrote in a psalm, he said, Lord, teach us to number our days, to live every day to the best of my ability, to glorify the Lord. There's an invisible number above all of our heads. That's how many days we have left. In other words, you can't slough off. Oh, yeah, I gave my life to the Lord, and now I'm on cruise control spiritually. I want to have fun. I want to live my life. I want to do what I want to do. I want to make myself happy. Well, that's what many in Sardis had decided to do. And it was a price they were going to pay personally. It was a price that they would pay internally. And it was a price they would pay collectively for this whole church. So Jesus wrote in the Gospel of Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44. Let's read this scripture out loud together. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. No man knows the day that eternity will invade his or her life. St. Augustine said the last day is a secret, and that every day must then be watched. Every day is a gift from God, a day that we can rejoice, a day that we can live for him. And may I add, you're setting the patterns and priorities of your own life and nature and character that will flow right into your first day in the kingdom of God. Because your last breath on earth will be followed by your first breath in heaven. And when your eyes close to your loved ones on earth, they will first open to see your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Life continues on. So we must live now. We have eternal life even now.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. To some, these studies in God's Word are a blessing, a source of reassurance and edification. To others, they're a lifeline. Here's what one of our Maranatha Radio listeners told us.
Dear Ray Bentley, God's timing is always so good. My husband and I have health problems, which limits our mobility. We appreciate being able to hear your radio messages when we're not able to go to church. Today's message and the exhortation at the end were very encouraging. God knew what I needed to hear to lift me up. Thank you.
These broadcasts are heard on many stations across the country, and we never know who hears them and how they help. That is, unless you let us know. Would you mind dropping us an email and letting us know how these studies encourage you? Write to ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now in verse 4, the Lord gave some encouraging words. He says, you have a few names even in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Jesus said, you know what, there, even in this church where most of the flock is not really on it, they're not paying attention, they're compromised, they're complacent, and they're going to get caught unaware by the events that are going to happen. He says, however, he goes, there's a remnant inside. And he goes, they are awake. They are alert. They know what's going on. They've got one eye watching for the predator who wants to destroy them, their marriage, their children, their family, their lives, their gifts and their calling. They're watching. And they are trusting in me. And they are following as closely as they possibly can to the heels of the shepherd who leads them and guides them, knows where to go. And here's the thing. This is not just theory. You can put it to the test. You can do your own thing, your own way, and see what happens. Or you can say, you know, I have done that. I've been there, sick and tired of it. Now I'm going to follow. I need some protection. Because this world, when you do your own thing and you're on your own, you get hit from the side so hard and knocked down. I wonder, and I know that I do, speak to maybe most of us, if not all of us, who at one time or another got knocked down by life beyond your capacity, and you are flat on your back and you said, I can't get back up, either mentally, emotionally, physically. And the reason you're here this morning is that Jesus Christ came and did for you what you could not do for yourself. He picked you up and he put you back on solid ground. Amen? You want to be following that guy. You don't know what is around the bend or around the corner. He's been before us. He's gone ahead. And any predator that comes, he's got a rod and he's got a staff. The staff can pick you up over the cliff, and the rod he can use to strike an animal and kill it. We have the great shepherd who leads us, who guides us, who watches us, who protects us. The Lord says, you have unspoiled garments, and I'm going to give you white garments to represent luminous clothing, the reward of participating. God says, I'm going to use this remnant to spark a revival in Sardis. And when it says that the clothes are white, I put a few interesting things here. In the ancient world, white garments were worn for many festive occasions, but especially weddings. And since Revelation's talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb, true believers will wear white robes at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And read with me Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. The word bright there means luminescent. In fact, the root word in Greek for white is the Greek word for light. What I mean is that, in a wedding, you know, the girl that has the beautiful white dress, we may say that it's luminescent. In heaven, it's literally the very robe itself is illumined or gives off light. And is apparently a reflection of the very glory of Christ that is now burning through our new glorified and resurrected bodies. So in Sardis, they made wool. They manufactured wool, and they made many of these garments that were used for the festive occasions that had to be white. And it took so much time to get the sheep and to raise the sheep and then to get to the wool and then get it prepared and processed and ready to be manufactured and made into things. If you had a whole batch of wool that got stained and spoiled, you can't make anything with it because nobody would buy it. So they knew personally in that city the value of having wool that didn't have stains. Jesus says to this remnant, you've kept yourself unspotted and unstained from the world. You shall be rewarded, and you shall wear white that is light and luminescent. And then in verse 5, he says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, this is an interesting expression. I will not blot out his name. Well, I hadn't even thought about you blotting out names. What do you mean by that? Does that mean that our names could be blotted out or we could lose our salvation? Is that what the Lord is saying? I don't believe that's exactly what Jesus is saying. He's actually saying, I would not do that. I cannot do that. Your names have been written, and they cannot and shall not be removed. In fact, later in Revelation 13:8, let's read that. It's in your notes. Whose names have not been written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When were our names written in the Lamb's book of life? Literally, they were written before the foundations of the earth were laid. And Christ says that there will come a day when we stand before his great throne, and all of humanity one day is going to stand before him. Which means, you know, before the separation, the sheep and the goats and all the analogies, the great throne of God. In this own, just this generation is 7 billion people. There is a book. I don't know how to describe this any more than the information we're given, but there is a book, and there's going to be a reading of names. You want to make sure your name is in that book called the Book of Life. You want to hear your name said. Jesus says, I will read the names and I will say the names and I will tell my Father, yes, this one is ours and we know him. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the reward prepared for you before the foundations of the earth were laid. Is that an awesome thought? Now you think, how long will it take to go through 7 billion people? And then think, but that's only this generation. Now go all the way back to Adam and Eve. That's going to be a long ceremony. But time will be irrelevant, or time is relative. And probably far more quickly than you realize, all of a sudden it'll get to your list, your name in the list. And I just think, what is it going to be like? I can't wait to hear Jesus, not only in the presence of all humanity, but in all the angels, cherubim, seraphim, and all the rest, and all the various rankings, say my name. It's going to say, Ray Bentley. I say, yes, here. Hallelujah. Oh, how sweet it will be that Jesus will confess to the Father and before his holy angels, Ray Bentley is ours. Come on in. Why? Because I, at 11 years old, heard the gospel through Billy Graham and said, Jesus, I believe in you and I trust in you as my personal Lord and Savior. Now, the Lord knew that before I did that, and so my name was actually written in the book of life before the foundations of the earth were laid. So you say, well, wait a second, but not all names are written in there. So how do you know if your name is written in the Lamb's book of life? All I can tell you is we don't know what God knows, but God knows everything. But here's what I can tell you. If you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, and you were to decide now that, yes, I want Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior and forgive me of my sins, and I want to go to heaven when I die, and you ask Christ into your life, then after you accept Christ, you'll find out that your name was actually written there before the foundations of the earth, and God knew that. Well, what if I decide not to? Well, then you'll probably find that he knew that and that it's not there. You say, well, wait a minute, then you're making the choices back to me. And I said, well, that's the best I can do. It really is up to you. No one is excluded. Whosoever will may call on the name of the Lord and be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him and trust in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is not willing that any should perish. No, not one. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, talking about the most important decision we can ever make. And if you'd like to consider that decision even further, go to raybentley.com and click on Knowing God under the word About. Pastor Ray will help you understand more of what the Bible says on this important matter. Now, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study here on Maranatha Radio, get in touch and ask for Watch. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for your gift of any amount. Just mention that one-word title, Watch. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Revelation on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we hear from people who listen to your studies each day, and they might be surprised at how much those letters, those emails, really encourage us.
Yes. You know, look, we put the radio on and we put it out, and it's free for everybody to enjoy, to listen to, hopefully to get blessed and encouraged. But it's not like when I am at my church and there's people that walk up and say, oh, I thank you for this or that point that you made, or God really touched me here, there. And I love seeing people, meeting people and whatever. But on the radio or online, it's invisible. I cannot tell you how powerful it is. Nobody writes letters anymore. But, you know, the smallest thing, if you contact us, if you call us, if you email us, if you write us a letter, send just a little card. Hey, it would be it means a lot to me. I see them. I read them. Dave, we try to pass that on to our people here and to the staff and the people that behind the scenes. It's a lot of people that bring this all together. I can't tell you, it means a world of encouragement that we're doing something that's actually making a difference. It's small, maybe to you, but like in our church, when somebody comes up and they go, oh, hi, Pastor Ray, and then I go, well, how did you hear about Maranatha Chapel? Well, I started listening to you about 3 years ago on the radio, and finally, I realized I live in San Diego. I could actually go to your church. I go, wow, it's nice to meet you. That's kind of what it's like. Not everybody throughout the country can actually be here in person, but you can write a letter, you can send a note, write an email or whatever and communicate to us. It just is encouraging. It goes such a long way that it's making a difference in somebody's life somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. So we hope you'll get in touch today. You can write Pastor Ray an email at ray@raybentley.com, or we'll give the mailing address again in just a moment. And keep in mind, to those who can send a donation right now, we want to send a copy of Pastor Ray's new novel, On the Mountain of the Lord, co-written by best-selling author Bodie Taney. It's a thrilling story that also uplifts you in your faith. So send your donation today to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order online at raybentley.com. Next time, we'll take a brief break from our studies in Revelation as Pastor Ray joins us in the studio for something special. So join us next time here on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.